Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Psalm 34 is more Lamed Dalet. Le David b'shanoto et tamo lifnei Avimelech ha'yigashel v'yelach. The title verse gives us important context as it refers to an event which took place in David's life, recorded in the first book of Shmuel, Perek 21, verse 14. There, as David was running away from King Saul, he decides to do the unthinkable. He goes to the king of the Philistine city of Gath for refuge. This is the same David who has already slew Goliath and has killed many Philistines. In fact, they sang, Hikash Shaul ba'alafav v'David b'rivivotav. The brilliance of the move was that Saul would never look for David behind enemy lines. The danger is that he had to survive in the most hostile place in the world, the belly of the beast. How did he do it? How did he change his nature? The word is vayishanu et ta'amo. He changed his demeanor or his nature in front of the king. He feigned being mad. He scribbled on the doors and let spit fall down his beard. The king, seeing this, said, "Why have you brought me a crazy person here? Do I lack madmen? Chaser mishugaim ani?" This behavior of David saved his life, and he was able to escape once again. The title verse uses the exact Hebrew found in the prophets as the beginning of the psalm of praise to God. Le David bishanoto et ta'amo, when he changed his demeanor in front of Avimelech. The title provides a perfect explanation for why the psalmist felt the need to sing a song of praise to God. The entire psalm of 23 verses, one verse is an intro, 22 in an acrostic, Aleph to Taf, though it's missing the Vav verse, and one verse in conclusion, praises God for all the wonderful things he has done for the author. It is written in first person, I will bless, but in Nistar, it's hidden, which means he's speaking about God and not directly to him. In the psalm, he speaks of his desire to sing God's praises and he invites others to join him. The first section, verses 2 to 8, describe this call to other people to join him in praising and blessing God, and explains why he's engaging in this song of thanks. God heard his pleas, saved him from danger, and extracted him from enemies listening to him. Avrachat Adonai b'chol eit tamiti tilato v'fi, ba'adonai titalan afshish yishmu anavim yismachu, gadlu l'adonai iti unurama shmo yachdav. I will bless God at all times, always his praise in my mouth. With God my soul praises, and the humble will hear my and rejoice. Speak of God's greatness with me, we will raise him up together. I called out to God and he answered, saving me from those whom I feared. Those who looked to God, their faces were illuminated, not embarrassed. This individual humble person called and God heard, saving from the enemy. The angel of God is parked near, surrounding the fearers and saving them. The beginning seems like a prelude to our famous Psalm Ashrei, in which he starts praising and blessing and asks others to join him. The third verse, Gadlu, is adapted in the morning tefillah every time the Chazan takes the Torah in his hands. He recites this verse saying, join me in reading from the Torah and raising up God's great name. This is a Talmudic source of the notion of needing at least three for a mezumat, a mini quorum, to bless God. He says to two people, join me. That's three. In a clear attempt to convince others to engage in this praising of God, he explains of his past escapades with God saving him, each time from danger. Four verses are dedicated to showing that at every turn God was with him, guiding him, saving him. The verb save appears in verse 5, 7, and 8. Verse 9, which begins with the letter tet, reminds us of the first verse with a play on words. Ta'amu uru'u ki tov Adonai, ashrei hagever yechsebo. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy is the man who trusts in him. Ta'amu, taste, is a funny word. On the one hand, it really means taste, like in tasting food. On the other hand, it means to understand the essence, which makes more sense here as it is connected to see, which also can be interpreted as a physical and metaphysical experience. The title verse uses the word connoting a changing of his essence. And here he uses the word to convince others to see, feel, taste the essential goodness of God. In doing so, one will be rewarded in the distinction of Ashrei, which we have seen several times through Tehillim thus far, when he has faith and support in God. Verses 10 and 11 has the psalmist calling out to people to fear God, for God does not lack in taking care of those who fear him. While evil people will end up in poverty, those who will seek God will want for nothing. Yiru et Adonai kedoshav, ki ein machsor l're'av, kfir rashi v'ra'evu, v'dor she'a Adonai lo yachzuru chol tov. The next section is quite famous due to some songs that were created based on these words. Interestingly, it departs from convincing people to believe in God and focuses on some advice about how to live a good, meaningful life. The answer is, hold your tongue, stay away from evil, seek peace. These ideal, ethical, interpersonal qualities describe the righteous soul who desires life, chafetz chayim. Verse 15 is famous for every time someone posited that the first stage of self-development is to stay away from evil and only after to engage in good. L'chuvanim shimuli yirat adnai lamedchem. Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim ohev yamim lerot tov. Netzor l'shoncha meira usfatecha midaber mirma. Sur meira v'ase tov. Bakesh shalom v'radfehu. Verses 16 and 17 contrast two anthropomorphic attributions of God to individuals. Eyes of God on a person is good. Face of God on a person is death. Enei Adonai el tzadikim voznav el shabbatam, oh, and ears as well. Pnei Adonai bose ra'ah lachrid meret zichram. So if God has his eyes on you or his ears on you, that's good. His face on you, you're dead. The eyes are where one finds sympathy, understanding, and compassion, while the face of God in Tanakh is generally associated with God's wrath. The reason is because when Moshe wanted to see the face of God, the response was, nobody sees my face and lives. Thus, when God shows you his face, you're in trouble. Tzaku v'Adonai shamea umikol tzarotam hitzilam. The next idea appears many times in biblical literature, but this is the first time in Psalms. It prefers that God is close or even closest to those who are brokenhearted. Those who have a crushed spirit, he saves. Karov Adonai l'nishbere lev v'dak'ei ruach yoshia. After all the times that the psalmist speaks of the righteous, God-fearing Yesharim and those who are worthy of God's salvation, this verse speaks of the broken amongst us, the lowly, the downtrodden. To them, God is so very close, ready to save, comfort, guiding back to becoming whole. Shomer kol atzmotav achat mehen alo nishbara. He will protect all of his bones, not one will be broken. But tmotet rasha ra'a besonit tzadik yeshamu, poda adonai nefesh avadav alo yeshemu kol hachosim bo. Evil will put an end to the wicked. Those who despise the righteous will be condemned. God redeems the soul of his servants, and no condemnation will land on those who accept God. The psalmist continues the theme of the suffering righteous and the retribution that the evil ones will receive from God. Verse 21 uses the image of the unbroken bones as a reference to the brokenhearted in verse 19. And the final pasuk repeats the word yesham, meaning God condemned for the wicked. But it ends with the word kolachosim bo, meaning all those who place their trust in God. The psalm begins with the personal desire to praise and bless God and then continues to try and convince his peers, his co-religionists, and ultimately his nation of this noble endeavor. On the way, though, he encounters the dicey question of theodicy, wrestling with flourishing evil and suffering righteous. He affirms that God will ultimately reward the brokenhearted and save those from pain. Ultimately, this is a positive psalm, praising God and sharing wisdom on how one desires life and loves many days so that he may see good. The answer is, steer away from negative influences, incline to good, and chase peace wherever you can.